Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Posts from DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, coming to you today with a Bible study, verse by verse, and we're going to finish Philippians 2 today. We're going to be working on verses 26 to 30. It's been a really, really busy time. Haven't been able to get to as many teachings and verse by verses as I normally do, but I'm trying to get back to it here, find time when I can. Between street preaching and studying and discipling, traveling. Today we're going to do Philippians 2, 26 through verse 30. I'm out in a park where we've been working online all day. We street preached here yesterday at a bass tournament. So if you hear music and cars going by, that's what that is. So, all right, let's get at this. Philippians 2, starting with verse 26. For he longed after you and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. All right, so Brother Paul, who's writing this letter from jail to the people, the believers in Philippi, here we have this worker of the Lord, Epaphroditus, who is longing for the people of Philippi. And what this tells us is that this man must have wanted to go be with them. He's longing to go be with them, but he was very, very sick, Paul informs us, almost unto death. Imagine that. We're going to get into this a little bit later, too, in the study. But the man's sick unto death, and he's worried about the people of God. What a great example. What this shows is the Holy Spirit in true saints gives great love and care for the body of believers, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the brethren. And Jesus, in John 13, go read it, backed it up when he said, this will be the sign to the world, your love for one another. Such a thing we see lacking greatly today is saints loving each other, caring for each other, looking after each other, being united and accountable to each other. We see a lot of selfish ways. We see a lot of prideful, novice, sinful, carnal ways in the body, but not a lot of this. And this man is giving us a great example. I also want to mention, this is also a good example that shows that the healing power that Paul had at one time, the massive healing power, must have waned. Why? You don't see Paul healing this man at will, do you? No. We saw it in the book of Acts. It was short-lived for a specific purpose. That doesn't mean God can't still do miracles. It just means it wasn't done at will like it was in the book of Acts. Because even Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine own infirmity. So Paul isn't healing him. Timothy's not healing himself. He's telling him, take a little bit of wine for your stomach's sake. So this is just another example that the healing power was dissipating after the book of Acts. Again, God can still do miracles, but at the hands of the apostles, it was only for a limited time. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. Yeah, we said Paul was going to talk about this. Nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Notice, no miracle healing. God had mercy on him. But also on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. All right? So Paul is saying that God had mercy on this man. He didn't take his life. And also on Paul, because of Paul's trials and tribulations and all of this. He's saying this man was so sick unto death. And again, and I need to say it, Paul doesn't heal him. Paul says God had mercy on him, so the Father's in control of it at this point. He always is in control. And it's more evidence that that healing power that was in Acts had faded, like we talked about. James, want more evidence about the healing power that had faded? James says, anoint the sick with oil and have elders pray. James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So consider that when you ponder all of these false faith healers and all these so-called signs and wonders going on today, we don't see it happening that way after the book of Acts. And when we read God had mercy on him, this is telling us that the Father is in total control of our life and our death. He's the giver and the taker of life. Deuteronomy 32, 39 through 40. See now that I, even I, am, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. So God's the giver and the taker of life. And so this we can rest in, and we can know that very clear via Scripture. Verse 28. And I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. All right, so Paul sends this once very ill worker, almost to death, to go to Philippi, and he says he does so carefully. That word carefully means with haste and speed. So he sent him quickly. And Paul says, I am able to be less sorrowful. Why is that? Well, again, Paul's in jail looking after these believers in Philippi as best he can. So Paul can rejoice that while he can't get to these saints, he's locked up, maybe about to be executed, who knows? He didn't know at the time. Although Paul said, I believe I'll be removed. A faithful worker goes and does what he's supposed to do in the body, looking after saints, and that makes Paul relieved. So this is showing this man caring for the body. This is showing Brother Paul's care for the body. We're seeing in this part of the scripture, this whole book of Philippians is about love and rejoicing, and we see the great love and care for these believers, and they're looking after the people of God. This reminds me of this verse, one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul is being an example to us. And that word, I always warn people about the King James translation. It's a good translation, but you got to look at the words. Sometimes they get the words wrong in the translation. Yeah, it's true. Look up my King James Only Exposed article at the teaching blog. Here they got it wrong. They say, Paul said, be ye followers of me. We don't follow men. We don't follow Paul. That word, mimetes, in the Greek, it's better translated imitate. I think that's where we get the word mimic from. We imitate someone. So Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It's another bad King James translation. Again, look up my article on King James Only. It'll show you a bunch of other ones. You can use it, but make sure you're looking at the Greek and the Hebrew words as well. So in light of what we're reading here, what this should tell us is we should be looking after true saints of God, if you know them, since there's so few of them. And we should be doing this with great labor and with great priority and with great painstaking ways. Paul's in prison worried about him. This man's almost dead worrying about him. How should you and I, that are probably doing pretty good compared to that, be worried about the saints of God, the people of God? That's something to ponder, isn't it? Verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Can I go back to verse 28? Most of the people in churchianity today, they just go to Sunday church, they do their ritual religion, they have their cookout, and they go and do their own lives, and it's yada, 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 whatever people do and whatever they do. But here we see saints looking after true biblical saints, and in truth, in doctrine, in holiness, in righteousness, not in worldly, fleshly ways. I just wanted to throw that in there. So this care and love we see for the New Testament saints is all based on Scripture and encouraging them to go for righteousness. And what do we see today in churchianity? A lot of flesh and a lot of social club actions. So again, 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. So the body in Philippi is instructed to be glad, thankful for this brother, basically not to take him for granted. Well, we should not only be glad, we should be looking after brothers and sisters, and also the Bible tells us to do it with contentment, right? 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's godly to be looking after each other, to be living godly, and then to have content, contentness. So we should be content, ready, with the believers God has around us. Think about that. I know all kinds of people that know a few believers that they don't even look after, and they're trying and looking after trying to get more. How can we fill up a building? How can I have 50, 60, 70 believers when they got two or three that they don't even look after? You get my point. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You be godly, you be content with what God gave you, and it is great gain. Paul says, hold such a man in reputation. That word in the Greek, entomos. You ready? It means valued, prized, precious. Wow. Just keeping on how important these workers of God are, the people of God, the true saints of God, the blood-bought saints, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, bought by the crucified Savior. We're not our own. We're purchased with a price. And so these workers and the people of God were to be looking after them and valuing them as prized and precious. You know what this reminds me of? How about this parable? Ready? Luke 15, 5 through 7. You'll know it. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Talking about the lost sheep. And when he come home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise shall joy be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need not repentance or need no repentance. Yeah, going back to churchianity, sadly, most of the churchianity claims that claim Jesus, or even those that have left the church system, yeah, I met some of them, they have little time or value for true, holy, godly saints. They use people, they backstab people, they discount people, they don't look after people, they're selfish, they're prideful, they're covetous, they're in competition. Yeah, I've had brothers that are like in competition with me, as sick as that is, as sinful as that is, it's true. That's of the churchianity people, and that's of people that have left churchianity and have wrong motives. Paul talked about those like in Corinthians where they had envy and strife, things like that. This is going to be to their own demise, willful sin that's not repented of, and I hope they repent. Jesus said, if you have aught with your brother, make sure you take care of it before you go and make your offering. I know a lot of saints that really need to work on that. They're lacking repentance, and they've gone on like nothing's ever happened. But how we look after and love and care for the saints of God, that's what is critical here. And Paul is saying to them, value this prized, precious man who labored almost unto death for them and for the kingdom of God. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Great examples to us. Verse 30, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Once again, Paul tells us, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. So Paul tells us again why this man, Epaphroditus, is to be honored by the brethren. He was a faithful worker in Christ, even unto death. I like how in other places in the scripture, Paul talked about how others had risked their lives and helped him and did service, and he lifts them up. This is to be honored in the body, lifted up. Not to give glory to man, but honor a man in Christ and give God the glory for him. Doesn't that make sense? I don't know about you, but I look at a man like Paul, and I give him great honor, and I glorify God because of what God did in him. I don't lift up Paul. I don't follow after and imitate. Well, I do imitate Paul. The Bible says to imitate, 1 Corinthians 11:1. But I don't follow Paul. I praise God for Paul. I thank the Father for Paul. You see what I'm saying? And I hope people would thank the Lord for me and Sister Amen and the brethren I know, not be giving us praise and glory, but be giving us honor in the body because of what Christ is doing in us. And I'm going to be doing a teaching about how we honor each other in the body that will be helpful, because it's a lot like a family. And when a family's healthy, there's proper honor in the body. We'll get to that teaching coming up soon. So Paul's telling us he's a worker. It was unto death. So he's to be honored. This is the fruit of a true Christ follower. What does this tell us about this man? He's a lot like Paul. He did not esteem his own ways and his own life, but he esteemed the gospel, the Lord, the Lord's work, and service to others in the true body. Wow. This man truly is a faithful servant. That word is doulos. I've been really hammering on this. Doing God's will, not his own. That's what the definition of a doulos is. It's someone that becomes a servant to others, and they put down their desires and their wishes to serve their master and serve those who they're serving. Makes sense, right? This makes sense in light of what just happened to me recently. I was in a park, and I saw a gathering of people, so I went and street preached over there, and I saw men claiming to be in ministry. And they added, in this case, a professional bass fishing tournament to their so-called platform, and they're out professional bass fishing in these $80,000 bass boats and all their sponsored uniforms, and they say, oh, this is my platform to preach the gospel, and they might tell people, yeah, Jesus is the only way, and they got a couple scripture verses on their boat. That's it. I met one young guy. It didn't go very long when him and I talked, and I said, how can you add this worldly way to the gospel and the things of God? And he said, it's always been my dream and passion since a kid to be a fisherman. Well, I thought Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah, you can catch fish to eat. You can catch fish to cook for brothers and sisters. But fishing for vainglory and catching fish to win money and trophies and boats and honor, no. Jesus said, I'll make you a fisher of men. Go look up that verse. That's what happened to me. I used to be an idolatrous fisherman. I'm no better than these people. But Jesus turned me into a fisher of men. You see my point? So this man that I talked to yesterday that got mad at me, he drove off mad, he is lifting himself, he's serving himself and adding Jesus on top, or just a little coating on top of Jesus, rather than the Lord being everything. I always say, people put Jesus as icing on their cake, but really Jesus is the cake and the icing. Amen, saints? You know what I'm talking about. So the opposite is this man, Epaphroditus, that I think that's how you say his name. He is clearly selfless and has no regard for his own life, but is thinking about the believers in Philippi, serving God, helping Paul. I think that's awesome. What a great example. Again, we're to example, imitate these great men of God. And this man's witness, his testimony, as we finish up here, reminds me of this verse, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. This man, working with Paul, did not love his life unto death. Excuse me. He did not love his life unto death, meaning he wasn't holding on to his life. He did what Jesus said in Matthew 10 we have to do. Lose this life to find it. Isn't that awesome? Lose this life to find it. I love that. So let all of these people, Paul, this man working with Paul, Christ, obviously, all the other disciples, let them all be great examples to us that we can follow, that we can imitate. We follow Christ. We follow their example. We don't follow men. It's a bad translation. We don't follow Paul. We follow his example. And what's that going to lead to? Ready? That's going to lead to us loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's going to lead to loving our neighbor as ourselves, the two great commands, which our brethren fall in as the neighbors, and we're going to love those in the body as Christ told us to, looking after them, encouraging them, teaching them, edifying them, yep, correcting and rebuking when they need it, calling them up, putting them out of the body when they need it. We've had to do that, and it's painful. Let me tell you, it's painful when you have to put brothers that you love or sisters out of a body that you love and care for because they need to repent. And guess what? They don't repent. What happens then? Well, to love God first, we have to obey God. Jesus said, if your brother repents, receive him back. If he doesn't repent, Matthew 18, you put him out of the body. I've actually lost brothers and sisters in fellowship because of men's unrepented sin that to this day they will not confess and repent of. So that's very troublesome. It hurts me in my spirit. The main reason it hurts me, yeah, I love them. But the main reason it hurts me, it steals God's glory. Because we all should be united and glorifying God together as members of the body. But they've done their sin and gone their own way and refused to repent of it and get it right. I'm kind of going off on another topic here. So let us all be that example like Paul, loving the body. This whole Bible study here has really showed us an example of a man putting down his own life, not considering his own health, laboring for the kingdom of God, and he's got his focus right. His mind is set on things above, Colossians 3:2, and he's set on that which is incorruptible, not which is corruptible, and that's what all of us should be striving for, and a big part of that is if you know true saints, I'm talking about people that are born by the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood, They repented of all their sin, come out of the world in churchianity. They're born from above with fruit of it. They desire and have prothumia, readiness of mind to serve God. They have the fruit of a true holy saint of God. And they're walking daily in holiness and obedience, growing and being sanctified. And they're ready to endure to the end, not just name and claim it like they got it today and they give up like the Baptists do and live sinfully and worldly. If you know people like that, wow, you should be encouraging them, looking after them, edifying them, making sure that they're on the narrow path, helping them when they fall down, holding up their arms. Men, if you're a teacher, or if you need help teaching, let me know. Teaching them, encouraging them, studying with them. But if we don't do that, how are we honoring God? That's what Paul is trying to show us in this letter to Philippi, how to love God and how to honor and love those in the body. We're going to leave it right there. That finishes Philippians 2. We'll get going on chapter 3 as soon as I can. I hope you're enjoying this journey through the verse-by-verse studies. Go look at the verse-by-verse tab, and you can catch up on all the rest of the verse-by-verse teachings I've done. Look at the teaching blog. Look at the street preaching videos. Look at all the sisters' edification resources. Look at our daily edification audio that we put up every day, and we add new pictures and videos. Just pouring out, trying to edify the saints, trying to glorify God. I'm out of here. Got to get down the road. We got to head off to our park spot. And then I got a Bible study call, video call with a brother to do tonight. So we love you all. Thanks for listening. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. May God be praised.